Happy Father's Day. That was a clip from 1992, the Barcelona Olympics, and this was England's premier 400 runner. I ran the 400 in high school, so this was like, I would watch the Olympics religiously. So around that time, I was in shape still, not this athlete in front of you right now. But when I watch that, I tear up every single time I watch that. And so we see Derek, he was favored to win the gold medal. And as he's running, he's on that last home stretch. You saw it. And he snaps his hamstring. And everything he trained for as a little boy to that point, could you imagine what that must have felt like for him? And that as he stretched down through that last point, he hit the ground. And his dad's name is Jim Redmond. Jim Redmond. Jim Redmond comes out of the stands and he sees his son. And I love he's swatting the officials away. He's pushing them away. Does not care. There's no category for their rules that he's going to go help his son and see what it is. And he's hobbling on one leg. And Derek wants to finish the race. That's admirable. That to me is the spirit of that God puts in the human spirit to continue to go forth. But it was in that last time. It said, here's actually what he said as he went to his son, Derek. Derek, it's me. You don't need to do this. Derek told him, Dad, I want to finish. And his father replied, okay, we started this thing together, and now we'll finish it together. And he picks him up, and he puts his son's arm around him, and they begin to limp forward, and they begin to finish that race. And my goodness, that was a beautiful example of the love of the Father for you, that he sent his son Jesus to be that love for us. And I don't know where that word that Tom gave today was right on. I think that we understand as we come in today, Father's Day has a lot of different meanings for some of us. So, and if it's good for you, praise the Lord. And if it's been tough for you, praise the Lord. And I'm sorry that happened, but God has a plan either way. And then here's the thing that I believe that there's some of you that came in here today that you've torn something in your life, that you've come up empty, that you've come up short what you hoped and anticipated that life would be, or what you thought it was going to be, it just came up empty. And you've torn something. And you might even think this morning that you can't finish this race. You can't finish that thing that God wants you to finish. And you need a father's blessing. You need a father to come into your life and pick you up and put his arm around you and help you finish. I don't know if that's you. You could be a dad, not a dad, a man, a woman. That's all for us. That's God's great love for each one of us, that we need the Father's blessing in our lives. No matter what you came in here with, we need the Father's blessing. We need God to speak into us. Did you notice that Jim did not say to Derek, why didn't you stretch? What did you do? Like kind of a critical father could be sometimes. Did you have that critical father growing up? Why didn't you stretch? But what he said, okay, let's finish this thing. We started together, we'll finish it together. He spoke into his life. He spoke life, and he did not speak criticism. He didn't condemn him. He spoke life, and he actually helped him finish the race. That's how God sees us. Can I ask you this question? What is it that you long for this morning? What is it that you long for? And I would say this, that most of us here today are longing to hear from the Father that you can do it. It can be done. You are enough. And I believe in you. Terry Bradshaw, he was in the 70s, the quarterback for the Steelers, and they had won 3 Super Bowls. And there's an interview, you could Google this. And he says, if I could just get Chuck Knoll to pat me on the back and says, I believe in you, I would run through a wall for that man. He had won 3 Super Bowls. And so what he had longed to hear just the encouragement and the life spoken in his life. They go on to win a 4th Super Bowl, as we know. But what he needed was from Chuck Knoll, he did not get. He needed those that were speaking into his life and that he was serving. He wanted them to just know that we're for you, we're believing in you. And he didn't get it. And that's why there's kind of an estrangement today. I think it's been patched up. But the whole understanding is we long to hear the blessing of the Father. Amen. I don't know if you need that this morning. It's an emotional thing to think about, that we want somebody something to believe us, that we can actually do it. And I don't know what you came in here this morning, but I want to tell you that we have a God, a Father in heaven who sent his Son that says, I love you, that I believe in you so much that I sent my Son to the cross. That is God helping us, putting his arm around us and helping us finish. That we're going to get chipped up. We might tear something. We might tear an Achilles, a hamstring, whatever it is, our heart. But God wants to help us get through with what we're doing. And the reality is this, that we tend to become what we most, what the most important people in our lives speak into us. We tend to become that. And I know as a dad, my context, if you don't know me, I grew up in a broken family. That's my story. That didn't identify me, but that left a mark on me. That left an indelible mark on me. But what I understood is I had a heavenly Father that would come and pick me up and help me finish this race. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today. I know as a dad of Emma and Luke that I want to be the best father for them. And I don't want to fail. I don't want to fall down. I don't want to be critical. I want to speak life into their lives. And I want to tell you this, that God sees you that way. That we're going to make mistakes. That's the truth. We're all going to make mistakes, but he doesn't hold that against you. It says he throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. He's removed those transgressions from us. And so he sees us as his sons and daughters. Do you hear that this morning? He wants to speak into your life. He wants you to know you are good enough because he is good enough. And he wants you to understand that. And so my hope this morning is, if you don't hear anything, is that God is a heavenly Father who loves you with an everlasting love. If you have the Bible, there's going to be a verse up here, Proverbs 18:21. Just listen to this. Listen to the power of these words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And so we can choose. Each day as believers, as dads, as moms, as sons and daughters, we can choose that if we're going to think about the words in which we use and how we see ourselves, those are the things that are, what do we see ourselves made in the image of God, and that there's life, that there's going to be fruit from that in our lives that comes forward. That if you've been hurt or tore something, that you can overcome that because of God's great love. Some of us will, that's just the way I've always been. I'm from Western Pennsylvania. I'm from, fill in the blanks. That's just the way I've always done it. I'm a realist. I'm a half, glass half empty guy. It doesn't matter. God wants you to know that he loves you, and your words matter. Your words matter. How many of you know your words matter? When you talk to people, when you even talk about yourself, those words matter. And so God wants you to think and use and understand in your life, because of his great love, we should use words that speak life and not death into people's lives. This world is, there's so much criticism and death. Everybody is a stinking critic. And so I believe this, is that God wants us to be the people, be the church, to be the sons and daughters that are speaking life into people that are broken, that need lifted up. And that's what we're called to do. That's what you're called to do. Are you speaking in there? And so to speak life is to speak God's perspective on any issue of life. And so we're going through something. We want to help people understand the perspective that we can speak life into there. Listen, I'm one of those guys that I've had a lot of, I've been through. I mean, it's my baseball card would have a lot of pain on it, right? But I try to. I do this. I want to speak life, even though I've had difficulties. That I want to learn from them and speak. It's hard sometimes. I get it. But here's the thing, but to speak death is to declare life's negatives. To speak death into something and criticize is to speak the negatives and tear people down, that we just constantly complain. And so we can choose to do one of those things. Are we going to speak life? Are we going to speak death into those situations? And I can tell you this, Ephesians 4:29 says this. It says, I know it's a new day. Things are different. God has sent his Son. It's a new day. He says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such is good for building up. Say building up. Building up. Building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so listen, many of you do this. Like you're speaking what comes out of your mouth because of who Jesus is life and grace. But here's the thing, is that if you're speaking anything else than that, you're tearing people down. And God's saying, I don't want you to do that. If the Holy Spirit is inside you, you should not be speaking death into anyone's life. And so that corrupt talk comes out. So what are we to speak? Speak words that build up. Speak words that meet the needs of people. Speak words when you're listening fully to people. Speak words that benefit those who are listening. Encourage them. I can't imagine the amount of negative influences and frequencies that come into someone's life on a daily basis. And we're supposed to be the church. The church is supposed to be different because of what Jesus did. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to speak grace, God's grace into those situations and not anything else. There were two times when God spoke into his son's life on earth, audibly spoke into his life. And here's what they are. In Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven, this is God, this is his Father, he says this, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And so is he speaking criticism? Jesus, why didn't you stretch? Jesus, he didn't say that. He said, this is my son who I am well pleased. And he's speaking life in front of all of those people that were at Jesus' baptism. Could you imagine to have been there at that time? The second one, it says this. God spoke to Jesus in Matthew 17:5. It says this, and this is on the Mount of Transfiguration toward the end of Jesus' time here on earth. And it says this, he took on his heavenly body, and Moses and Elijah appeared. Peter freaks out, right? He freaks out in this moment and says, let's build some idols to worship, right? But this is what it says. He was speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen what it says in there. Listen to him. And so these are the two times where God's speaking life and blessing into his son. He's not criticizing him. He's not saying, well, you could have done that walk on water different, right? He didn't criticize him. He loved him. He spoke blessing into his life. And so that's a pattern for us. That's something that we should emulate from the Father. God's character, what is God like? That's a question that we should all be asking. God is a loving Father, that he's speaking blessing. He's speaking legacy. As Jess prayed over our little ones this morning, she prayed over them and spoke legacy and life into them and our leaders. That's what God does to us, that he prays over us and speaks that into our lives. That's an outline for us to look at. Fathers, dads, men, I want you to listen, that you matter. You matter. You're not some Homer Simpson just bumping through the earth and the world, right? You matter. God has given you a purpose and a unique gift, and he's given you a family. And if you don't have a family, he's given you unique abilities, and he wants you to use them for his glory, and so you can understand who you are. And so one of the other things as we were preparing this week, and I never thought of that, but God bestowed upon you men the same name as he gave himself, and it's Father. Like, I'm a father. I'm a father of two adult children. Mostly adult, right? They're mostly adult. But I'm a father. And so you're given that name. You're a father. Some of you are just amazing fathers. You inspire me in how you've poured into your kids, how you've raised them, and what you're doing even now. But God has bestowed that. And he says, it's a word of acceptance, right? It applies to anyone in the room. If you're younger, older, like, you're his son, you're his daughter. That's how he sees us. And when he says that, what does that say, sons and daughters? There's a connotation of family. It says you're part of the family. God sees you as part of his family. That was the thing for me. As a kid that grew up in a broken family where my dad was an absentee guy, he was not around, the thing for me that caught was like, okay, there's this thing called God the Father. I'm in. I'm all in. I pushed my chips into the middle of the table, right? And when I understood that, I understood that God is my Father, and he accepts me as his son. Game changer. My life's changed forever. And so I just want you to know, as God sees you as his children, he loves you with an everlasting love. You ever hear like a my mom used to do this. She would say, look what your daughter did. Like, look, you know, like, look what your son did. You know, she would say that. And that's not how God looks at us. He doesn't say that, like, oh, look at that. another speeding ticket for my son. Look, he doesn't see us like that. He says, that is my son. That is my daughter who I am well pleased. Do you hear that this morning? Do you need God's blessing in your life this morning? Because I believe you do. I believe you do, that this Father's Day could be a redeemed thing if it's a bad thing. Or it could just be a heightened thing that we have, that God loves you with that everlasting love. And I believe this. I believe this is that when we have this godly perspective, it's as if we're putting on sunglasses that have a lens where we have this godly perspective and we're looking at life and we're not seeing everything as negative or bad. We're seeing it through a godly perspective. We're able to see people as they are, not the things they did. Amen? And I think that's how God looks at us. And so here's what we're called to do. What are some things you can do? Remove the negative words from your vocabulary. How you speak to others, your family, your kids, yourself. Pray, God, give me the strength. Holy Spirit, give me the strength not to use negative words in my day-to-day. Pray for that not to happen. How about this? Like thinking about the weight of words. When you were a kid, did you hear like that little little teachable moment, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me? That's lies from the pits of hell, because they do. You know, you can have the thickest skin, but if someone says something that's close to the vest, you're like, oh, that hurt. So words matter. Words have a way of staying and imprinting on our hearts and our minds. And so as we speak into people's lives, we're called to speak life and not death. That's what God the Father did to his son Jesus. That's what Derek Redmond's father, Jim, spoke into his life, right? I love on that in that clip. I mean, that's a beautiful clip. He says, I am with you. He says, I am with you. There's many of us that have felt abandoned by people in our lives, that people have left and gone, right? But here's what I know, that God is with you and he believes in you. He is for you. He's not going to abandon you. He is right there with you. That in the day-to-day things that you're going through, in the difficulties, in the valleys of what you're going through, he is with you. He's there, and he says, all right, let's finish this thing. Let's do this together. We are not, when we speak words, we want to speak words of faith. We want to speak what people, not where they are, but what they can become. We want to speak in what Jesus saw in them. We want to see, like when you see people, I try to say I could say this about Jess. I can say this about my wife. I can say this, absolutely, Gabe. How about Gabe's leadership? I appreciate you leading us. But like I could say the phrase, I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in you because of the kindness and the grace and the compassion. Not for the stuff that they do, but I actually genuinely see Jesus in the three of them who are sitting in the front row here. That's what we're called to do. We're called to speak grace and call things into existence. For instance, in Paul wrote in Romans 4:17, he says this, Romans 4:17, Father Abraham, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed, he gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that did not exist. And these are words of acceptance. These are words that are speaking into potential. Say potential. God speaks into your potential as he spoke into Abraham's potential as the father of many nations. I'm getting teared up just talking about this. He speaks into our potential. He speaks into your potential. He doesn't look at you, what you've done or how you've missed the mark or whatever you think it is, but he speaks into your potential and the purpose that he's called you in to be. He sees that. And that's what we're called to do as believers and as men, as fathers, call into existence the potential, speak life into people over and over again. This is we talk about this in connection groups, the I see in you moments when we look in leaders. I see in you the moment where you have this ability to lead. That's what God does over and over and over again. He says, I see in you the potential of what you can become and not who you were. How about this? Mark 10:13-16 says this. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could bless them and touch them and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Jesus. Could you imagine that scene? They scolded him. Could you imagine like someone up here like, hey, keep those kids away from Jesus. Keep those kids down on the lower level. Jess isn't having it, right? That's not what Jesus was like. That's not who God is like. In verse 14, it says this: when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." In verse 16, then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads, and he blessed them. And so Jesus wants the children to come to him. He wants to bless them. He wants to speak identity. He wants to speak potential. He wants to speak destiny into their lives. He wants to speak life and love and grace, and it just keeps going on and on. And so this word blessing in this verse, in the Bible, in the biblical language, it means eulogy. Have you heard of that word before, a eulogy? Usually it's in a context of a funeral or a celebration of life. But this eulogy means to speak well of, to praise, to extol, to invoke benediction or blessing over someone. In other words, to give thanks. I've had the opportunity to speak at family members and some friends who have passed, and I've got to lead the eulogy and give thanks for everything they meant to me. But in the context of life, in the context of where you are, God is speaking blessing over your life, and he's extolling you, and he's speaking life into you. And so that's what we're called to be. This blessing can be men to God, or men to men, or God to man. But what it is this idea of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us, that Jesus says in Luke 17, 21. The kingdom of God is within you. And so when we look at an individual, no matter the color of their skin, their political party, what side of town they're from, it is we're seeing the potential and how we see them made in the image of God. That's how we see them. And so these words of affection that we see within the Bible, there it says, "My beloved," how God addressed Jesus. That means the one I love, or I love you. He's talking to Jesus this way. And so this divine love that God speaks into Jesus and speaks over us, he wants them to experience this agape love. Have you ever heard the word agape? It's a biblical church word that means this. It's the highest form of love. It's sacrificial, Christ-like love. It's what unconditional love looks like, that you have agape love. And so that's what God had for us, is this agape, unconditional, Christ-like love for us. And so as we speak these words of affection, we need to be ones that speak a eulogy over people's lives and bless them, but also demonstrate not just with our words, but with our lives, this attitude of agape, amen? So the cruel and hateful words in our culture need to stop. It has no place in the kingdom of God. It doesn't. And it should stop. And so how does that begin? Where does that stop? Can I put a post up there? It's not going to make a difference, but what's going to make a difference is how I live my life and I treat people outside these walls or inside these walls as well. So that hatefulness, that bitterness, that kind of criticism and death, that needs to stop. But God wants you to do that as he has spoke in blessing over your life. He wants you to do the same in others. So as a man, as a husband and a father, you're never as good, and I believe this, that you're never as good when you are selfless, and that's a form of agape, or sacrificing or serving. You're never as good when you're on that. And there's many men in this room that demonstrate that. There's many men in that room that do that. But there's some of you in the room, I encourage you, if you're struggling in this area, step up. God wants you to be that man who is sacrificing and is selfless and is serving your family or serving your neighbors. He wants you to be that. That's what you're called to do, to lay down your life for your family and for this next generation. I love this in Proverbs 15:4, another just beautiful scripture. It says, "Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." Which one of these are you? On which side of this? Like, are you one that has gentle words? Are you one that is speaking gentle words into people's lives? Or you have a deceitful tongue that is just crushing people? Because here's the thing, I believe this, that there's more people speaking crushing words and deceitful words in people's lives. The church should not be doing that. The church should be the church and rise up and demonstrate that they have who Jesus is and the Holy Spirit was within them. That's what we're called to do, words that are gentle. I believe this, like harsh words don't work. Like It doesn't. When you're dealing with people, like when you're getting yelled at or there's harsh words, you're right, I'll change. That's gonna sting at first. But when you speak gently and you speak tactfully and winsomely and not weird, people are gonna listen. When you're demonstrating agape, people are going to listen. And so I love this. And you think about, there's a biblical example of speaking gently to people in their lives. In John chapter 4, there's a story of a woman at the well. She goes to the well in John chapter 4, and then she's at midday. She goes to this well. And most people, women, are going to go to the well in the morning. They're going to get their water there. She went midday. And so she encounters Jesus at this well. And so Jesus, knowing who she is, knowing her reputation, knowing her thoughts and her heart, he doesn't immediately say, "You have many husbands, go and sin no more." He doesn't open with that, right? He provides care. He speaks gentleness. He speaks love. What a model for us. And so as we see, if you want to look at a clip of that, go Google like the Chosen and look at the woman at the well. It's a beautiful scene. Jesus demonstrates speaking words of life and agape and sacrifice. He cares for her first, then he offers correction. It's the opposite sometimes. Often we're going in full bore, guns hot, we're gonna offer correction, and this is the truth, and this is what's right, and we're not offering care first. We need to see the potential in people, amen? Are you with me this morning? And so when do I need a father the most? When do I need a father figure in my life the most is when I pull my hamstring and 100,000 people are watching, right? It's when you need him the least is, I know that I just messed up. I know that I messed up. You don't need to tell me. Often I'll try to help my kids and I'll say, hey, if you do this, this will help do the thing faster, the chore faster. And you know what I get from my kids? I know. They'll tell me that. Like, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear correction. They need it sometimes, but I have to speak care first, then offer correction. So that's what God wants. We need a father to speak into our lives, to be there, to pick us up when we're going through it, when we're down, when we're hurt, when we're really going through it. That's what God does. He wants us to cling to him. Words of affirmation. I am well pleased. Jesus is well pleased. God is well pleased with Jesus, and God is well pleased as God the Father is well pleased with you. It's pointing this. Here's some other practical things. Pointing out somebody that's done a good job and just speak that into their lives. Hey, great job with that. Just little bits of encouragement through the day. You don't have to be cheesy over the top, but just speak words of encouragement. Great job. Thank you. Those go a long way. The words matter in our lives. But here's the thing. Jesus, we think about his baby dedication. Simeon was there. And when Simeon was at Jesus' baby dedication in Luke 2:34, I think there's a scripture for this, he spoke blessing. He spoke life over Jesus and potential. It says this, then Simeon blessed them, Joseph and Mary and Jesus, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined. This child is destined. And so he spoke that into his life. Maybe God this morning wants you to understand, like, he wants to speak in your life that you are destined. He wants you to do great things. He wants you to be that for somebody else in your life, to be able to speak that. We all need to speak destiny and purpose and affirmation into people's lives. I love that about what we're seeing here in the scripture. We need to kind of slow down. We don't have to have an opinion about everything. Just listen. Just listen to people, be with them, be present with people, and then you're able to speak into their lives. I remember during the times of COVID, there was a meme, which is like a computer image for those of you who don't speak computer. It was an image that was out there, and there was just a lot of like heat that was coming and negativity and hate and all kinds of stuff. And it was mostly, I think, through like school teachers. School teachers were giving this to their kids, and then the kids would pass it on to their moms and dad. And it says, think before I speak. Think before I speak. And it was a kind of an acronym. Think, is it true? And this is applicable for us today. When we're speaking into people's lives or about to speak or shouldn't speak, is it true? Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Are the words I'm saying helpful and building someone up and encouraging them? Is it inspiring? Are you challenging people upward and moving forward in their faith? And is it necessary? Is this necessary, what I'm saying? Or is it just like the Charlie Brown teacher? Wah, 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 wah. Is it necessary? Google that if you don't know the reference. And then K, is it kind? I think this matters. I think Jesus demonstrated this over and over and over again. Is it kind? People need to see that that difference is in your heart. Is it kind? And so when we have negative things over us, we have father wounds, we need to be able to say, I need to be healed. I need God to come into my life. I need a father's blessing in my life. I need to know that I'm forgiven. Psalm 68, 5 through 6 says this. Speaking of the father, and it's about these relationships that God wants with his sons and daughters. It says in verse 5, he is the father to the fatherless. He is the defender of widows. This God whose dwelling is holy, which Gabe led us, and we just sang about the holiness of God this morning. God places the lonely in families, and he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. And so we see who God is and what he's like. He wants to place us in family. He wants us to have life and destiny. He wants us to understand we have purpose and we can finish this race of life. We don't have to give up. And so I want you to know this this morning. I want you to know this morning, that you are loved, that you are part of God's family. You matter, that you are well-pleasing. Isn't that great to think about? You're well-pleasing. Just to think that God sees me in that light. When I see myself, when you were a kid, did you ever go to like that Noah's Ark thing and there was that weird mirror? Noah's Ark is a weird thing in itself, but that one weird mirror, it makes your image look distorted. And I remember standing in front of there and I was like real big, real, you know, stretched out. That's kind of how it's an image of how we see ourselves in this mirror that isn't the way the reality is. God doesn't see us like that. He sees us as he is well pleased with us. Let that sink in. He is well pleased with you. And then finally he says this, you're not alone, and I believe in you. How many of you need to hear that this morning? That you're not alone, that God believes in you. He loves you. He sees you as sons and daughters with potential and destiny to make a great impact in this world. But we need to say, I need you. I need you to kind of lift me up. I need you to come alongside and pick me up off this track of life. Some of you walked in here this morning. You're still running the race of life. And in somewhere between the starting gun at the beginning of the race and right now, you tore something. You tore something in your life. Maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's your mind. Maybe a relationship. You tore something. Maybe it was years ago. Maybe it was months ago. Maybe it was yesterday. And you've been limping ever since. And you've been struggling ever since. And you're telling yourself, I'm fine. I'll get through this. Everything's great. And you just want to push on and try to finish the race on your own, but you can't. You can't do it on your own. Listen, you don't have to and you don't need to. That God the Father is there to pick you up this morning. He is here for you. He's here. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, he is there to pick you up and help you move forward. That picture that we saw, that video this morning of Derek Redmond, when you saw that immediately when he fell, you would think that his race was over. But his father climbed over the wall. His father climbed over the wall, but that just wasn't a nice story because that's the gospel picture in about a 30-second clip. Do you see that? That's the gospel picture. His dad didn't run onto the track to ask what went wrong. He ran onto that track to say, I am with you. I love you. And we'll finish this together. That's how God sees you, guys. That's how he sees you this morning. That's exactly what the Father in heaven is doing right now. God the Father is not asking what you did. He's not asking what you didn't stretch or why you didn't listen. But he says, I am over the wall. We're going to finish this together. And here's the thing, just three things. He says to us, you are accepted. Listen, let this sink in. You are accepted. You don't have to prove yourself. You are accepted. You are loved. Some of you need to hear that this morning, that you are loved. God sees you and he loves you. And then he says this, I am well pleased with you. I love that. I am well pleased. Not for the stuff I do, but who I am and how he died for me. He rose again, right? That's how he sees me. I see you. He went over that wall for you to help you finish. Do you see that this morning? And so whether you tore a hamstring this morning or you've been running fine, you didn't maybe even know that needed this morning, but God loves you, not because you're weak, but because you're built to receive the blessing of the Father. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. And I'm going to invite, if you're bold enough, would you do this for me? Every man in the room today, would you just come forward? Just come forward right here. Just meet me up front. Every man this morning, up front. Shoulder to shoulder. If you don't want to come up, that's okay. I want you to just kind of get close with each other. Put your arms around one another, just like Derek Radman's dad did, Jim. Put your arms around one another. Make room up front. Move forward. Put your arms around one another. So I want to pray a blessing upon each one of you that God jumped over the wall for you, that he went to the cross, and he says, you are loved. I am well pleased with you. You are accepted. I want you to hear that, man. Maybe you didn't hear that a lot growing up, but this morning he loves you, that you are loved, you're accepted, you're enough. And I want to pray a blessing upon you right now as this Father's Day, however you celebrate it, but I want you to know the blessing of the Father, that he loves you with that love. He went over the wall for you. And he wants to help you finish. No matter where you are in the race of life, he wants to help you finish strong and to finish well. So let me pray a blessing upon you all. Heavenly Father, I just pray a blessing upon each man here in this room. Lord, I pray that no matter where they've gone through, maybe there's a father wound. Lord, would you just draw near and help them, that you touch that wound and heal that wound, Lord, that wound doesn't define them. It's part of their story, but that's not who they are. They're defined by their identity in you as men. Lord, I pray that whoever's struggling with like forgiveness issues, Lord, that they would accept your forgiveness in their lives. Lord, that they would see themselves as forgiven. Lord, I pray a strength, a Holy Spirit power upon them to lead and love and speak life into people's lives that they encounter as their families and their friends and their coworkers and the stranger. Lord, would you help them to speak life and not death? Lord, I pray for that critical spirit in the man that might be here today. Break that in Jesus' name. Break that critical spirit right now. Lord, help them to be ones that demonstrate gentle words and kindness and the love of Christ to all they come in contact. So Father, I pray you bless them. Help them have a great time with their family or whatever they're doing this morning, but I pray that you would strengthen them and let them know that they are loved and they are called your sons. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you guys for coming up. Appreciate it. Love you. As you make your way back, I'm going to invite Jess Jackson, our MC, up, and she's going to...